Kof Ches Menachem Ov, Sunday the 24th of August, Rabbi Yossi Cohen, Ace Milchama, Time of War. This week's Torah Way has been sponsored Lizchus Lerefua Chaim Ben Chaya Esther, Nor Lehispalel Sheyizko Lerefua Shlemo.
I saw in the name of a pre-World War II Maggid who wrote a very powerful idea that we can all connect to during these days of Milchama in Eretz Yisrael specifically. He quoted the Gemara in Menachos, an interesting Gemara in Menachos, which talks about a tragic scenario of a person who was born with two heads, possibly similar to what we refer to as Siamese twins, as Manazeh. And from halachic perspective, the Gemara there discusses what happens if someone is born with two heads, on which head do you place tefillin? One head, two heads, if one head, which heads? The Gemara discusses if it's a firstborn boy, then how much would you pay the Kohen for Pidyon HaBen? Different questions that came up regarding a person who was born with two heads. On the side of the Gemara there, the Shittim Kubetzis quotes a Medrash that in the days of Shlomo HaMelech, the wisest of all men, a man with two heads came to Shlomo HaMelech, or should I say possibly men with two heads came to Shlomo HaMelech, and said to him, Adoni HaMelech, we are two people. Probably looked at each other when they said those words. And our father has died and has left us an inheritance, and we are therefore entitled to a double portion of the inheritance. It seems the other siblings disagreed, and they said, no, it's one child and is only entitled to one portion of the inheritance. You, the wisest of all men, you managed to deal with the problem of the two babies, as the Psukim say, Malachim. You can answer this question. Adoini HaMelech, am I one or are we two? And the Medrash there tells us that Shlomo HaMelech then said, okay, let's test. He took a bucket and he placed the bucket over one of the two heads. He then took hot water and poured the hot water over the uncovered head. And when that happened, simultaneously both heads screamed together. And once that happened, Shlomo picked up the bucket off the dry head and said, I'm very sorry, but you are only one and you're only entitled to one portion of the inheritance. You didn't see it, you didn't feel it, but you screamed together, you are one. So this pre-World War II Maggid took this chazal and he used it as a mashal to Klal Yisrael. In this story, there's a person with two heads. Klal Yisrael has much more than two heads. There are those in Klal Yisrael that wear strimals on their heads. There are those in Klal Yisrael that wear spodoks on their heads. There are those in Klal Yisrael that wear black hats bent up, black hats bent down, grey hats, baseball caps, no hats, this yarmulke, that yarmulke, no yarmulke, a sheitel, a tichel, all three together, or not, all different types. And unfortunately, there are those that have nothing covering their hair. What is going to be the litmus test that intrinsically Klal Yisrael is one? The litmus test that intrinsically Klal Yisrael is one is when boiling hot water is poured on some of those heads, what do the other heads do? When missiles land in the south, what do people in the north do? When Eretz Yisrael is in the Tzara, what do people in Chutz La'aretz do? When Hurricane Sandy occurs in the five towns, what do people on the other end of the globe do? This is what defines us as one. The Rishonim point out that the word Am, which means a people, is the same letters as the word Im, which means with, together. The definition of an Am is Im. And it is a great sanega. Again, just haven't been here for the last 2-3 weeks. It's a great sanega to Klal Yisrael to watch how all the Boti Knessias and all of Klal Yisrael, the tefillahs and the shouting that occurs in Chutz La'aretz and in parts of Eretz Yisrael, it's all relative. It's all relative. In one part of Eretz Yisrael, there can be a siren once a day, and you know, Baruch Hashem, generally, after the siren's finished, you wait 5-10 minutes and life goes back to normal. Baruch Hashem, hundreds of thousands of people in the southern part of Eretz Yisrael have 15 seconds to get somewhere, and it's a constant pachad and a constant tsar with untold damage in many areas. And it's a tremendous sanega of Klal Yisrael all over the place when it's not necessarily happening to me, it's not upon my head, that yet nonetheless we shout and scream, and that will define us as one, and there's nothing more powerful than the achdus of Bnei Yisrael. Klal Yisrael all over the world is saying Tehillim, and it's interesting that one of the possibly the most famous Perek Tehillim that is being said all over the world is the famous Perek that's one says, Shilamalos Esoinai Lehorim Me'ayin Yov Ezri. I found a very interesting Rabbeinu Bechai in Kadar Kelach under the title Mezuzah. Rabbeinu Bechai points out, as we know, David HaMelech, every Tzorah of Klal Yisrael, Bechlal or Befrat, David Davin for Adsoif Kol Adairus. Rabbeinu Bechai writes that in that particular Perek, David deliberately mentioned the word Shmira 6 times. Six times the word Shmir appears in that Perek. Because a person needs a Shmira from all 6 sides. From 4 sides, on top of them, and beneath them. And until this war, I never fully understood this, Rabbeinu Bechaya. I understand you need a Shmira from all 4 sides. And I understand you need a Shmira from on top of you as well. Who knows what can land on a person. But underneath you? Oh, but this war has shown us that a person, Pshutei Kamashmoy, needs a Shmira from all 4 sides. And the major danger has been, Rachman Litzlan, the sudden tunnels beneath a person's feet that have been sort of a terribly dangerous thing. But whenever we go to Mulchama, whenever there is a Mulchama, then I'm talking here from a spiritual standpoint. We're not talking about the Pikuach Nefesh and the physical battle that needs to be done to protect Klal Yisrael, etc., which obviously all those involved we daven for and on the spiral for their shalom and their healing and protection. From a spiritual vantage point, we always need to analyze our enemy, and that's always been the case throughout history, throughout Tanakh, to understand what makes that enemy tick, what is their koyach. And often their koyach is a reflection of our weakness and something that we need to work on. And from the spiritual vantage point, as far as the military wing of the Bati Knesios and the Bati Midrashos and Klal Yisrael, as far as the everyday Shema Torah Mitzvahs are concerned, there's a lot that we can do and have done in history to be able to protect Bnei Yisrael from the various dangers. The enemy at the moment is Yishmael. It's something which is mentioned in Psukim, it's mentioned in Chazal in many places, that the Achris Hayomim, one anaf of Edoim will be Golis Yishmael. And the Rambam, in his famous Igeres Temon, it's discussed in the Sefer Me'amakim, he brings these points out very beautifully. The Rambam, again, all in Tehillim, in Perek Kufchof, Shiramales El Hashem, Batsarosili, Karosi Vayaneni, Hashem Hatsilo Nafshi Mitzvah Sheke, Miloshin Remio, the whole theme of that Perek is Loshin Hora, the danger of the Loshin, the danger of the tongue. And all of a sudden, at the end of that Perek, David HaMelech launches into a discussion about how much he or Klal Yisrael as a nation suffers under Ohalei Kedar. Oyol kigati meshech, shochanti im Ohalei Kedar. Oyol kigati meshech, woe unto me that I have had such a long sojourn, some Rishonim explain it. Meshech from been a long sojourn. Shochanti im Ohalei Kedar. I have dwelt under the tents of Kedar. And one wonders, why all of a sudden is David sticking in Kedar here in this Perek? Which again, the theme of the Perek is Loshon Hara. And the Rambam very clearly tells us in the Igeres Temon that we know Kedar was one of the sons of Yishmael. One of the sons of Yishmael was called Kedar. And as the Rambam says, note how of all the children of Yishmael, David specifically refers to Kedar. Why does he refer to Kedar? Because we know, the Lashon of the Rambam, that the lunatic, he calls him the Meshuggah. We know that the Meshuggah came specifically from that branch of Yishmael, referring to Muhammad. He, we know, came, the Meshuggah came specifically from Kedar. We know his Yichus, and this is where he came from. If you look at the end of Parshas Chayisara, Ve'ele told us Yishmael ben Avram, Asher Yol Dehoga HaMitzvah Shifcha Asara El Avram, Ve'ele Shmoyz ben Yishmael, B'Shmoyz ben Toldoysam, B'choy Yishmael, Nevoyes, Ve'Kedar, Ve'Adbeil, U'Mivsam, then in a separate pasuk, the next three children, U'Mishma, V'Duma, U'Masa, and the next pasuk, Chadad, V'Tema, Yatur, Nafish, V'Kedar. These are all the children of Yishmael. We know, writes the Rambam, that the Meshuggah comes from Kedar. And then he describes in the Geres Temon how much tremendous suffering Klal Yisrael has had from that particular branch of Bnei Yishmael. Untold suffering. And the Rambam tells us there in that Geres Temon, quotes a Chazal, what are we supposed to do to counterbalance their force? How are we supposed to defend ourselves against this nation? Again, from a spiritual vantage point. And it's phenomenal, if only we could just print these words of David HaMelech and hang them up in every single United Nations, everywhere. Just read what it says when David prophetically sees the suffering of Klal Yisrael under Kedar. Oyo li kigati meshech shochanti ima ole Kedar. Continues the pasuk. Rabas shochnolo nafshi im soine sholem. So much my soul has had to dwell amongst those that hate Shalom. From my vantage point, ani Shalom. I want peace. V'chi adaber, and the more I speak about it, heim ala mulchama. If only that message will be crystal clear once and for all. There's no point in all this. There's no point in all this discussion. Ani Shalom, that we know. V'chi adaber, and the more I speak about it, heim ala mulchama. That's what David HaMelech writes. Says the Rambam, our only solution is that in a separate pasuk amongst the sons of Yishmael we find the following three names: Umishma, Veduma, Umasa. Three sons of Yishmael: Mishma, Duma, Umasa. Writes the Rambam that those three names are our salvation. In other words, in the enemy's names alone lies the salvation that we have to think about. Mishma from the word Shema, Duma means be quiet, and Masa means carry the burden. That's what a Masa is, a burden. What does it mean, be quiet? Listen, be quiet, and carry the burden. So there in the Sefer Mamakim, he explains what the Rambam is saying here is, again, obviously we're not talking about not to use self-defense if necessary, Habor l'haragecho, hashkim horge, we're not discussing the military side of things. But Mishma, Duma, Umasa is basically a declaration of listening, being silent, and carrying the burden. When a person listens and is silent and carries the burden, that basically is a declaration of Emunah. Accepting, listening to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing, silently accepting what he does, whether it's B'chol Mido or Mido Shumoydid Kenegdecha, a person accepts, believes and carries the burden, is the silent acceptance of the gezeiros of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on a person. To hear, to be silent, and to carry the burden. They also have an emunah. They believe in the same God that we do. But the difference is that they do whatever they want, whatever the Yetzirah tells them to do, whatever they feel like doing, they do it. And then when they do it, they claim it's the name of God. Mishmo Dumo Maso means that I'm a vatl my rotzen for his rotzen. And if he does something, and he brings something upon us, or he puts a person in a certain situation, whatever it is, financial, whatever the situation is, a person that hears and is silent and carries the burden, in essence, is accepting the gezeira and is accepting what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing, and that is true. True emunah. So in the very points that they are strong at, whether it's their tefillah, we can counterbalance them with our tefillah, which is greater and stronger. And in the world of Emunah, which is also something to a degree which they have, again, in a perverted manner, but they do things. They are moisa nefesh. They do certain things in the area of Emunah. Writes the Rambam, Umishmo v'duma umasa. Those three names, Shema, Doim v'sa. Listen, be silent, and carry the burden. Accept the gzeiros, accept the situations, and this is the way that we can counterbalance this force. I just want to mention something else regarding Eis Milchama. In this coming week's Parsha, Parsha's Shaftim, the Pasuk says, Ki seitze la Milchama alayvecho. Perek Chof Pasuk Aleph. Ki seitze la Milchama alayvecho. When you will go to war against your enemies, v'ro'isa, sus v'rechev, am rav mimchal, power, tremendous military force, as Rashi says, they make noises and all sorts of frightening sounds. Lo yisira mehem, ki Hashem elekecho imoch ha'malcho meretz Mitzrayim. V'hoyo ki korov v'chem ala mulchoma. And it will be when you'll come to the stage of war, v'nigash ha'koyen v'dibe la'om. The koyen should come forward and speak to the people, v'omar aleim, and he should say to them, Shema Yisrael, atem krevim hayoyim la mulchoma leivechem, al yerach levavchem, al tiru, v'al tachbazu, v'al taratsu mipneim. Shema Yisrael, says Rashi, Shema Yisrael, afilu ein bochem schus, elo kriyas shema bolvad. Even if all you have is the schus of kriyas shema, kedai atem sheyeshia eschem. That is enough of a reason that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should save you in a time of war. In this coming week's Parsha, Parsha's Shaftim, it seems that the power of kriyas shema is something that we can use, and if we say it properly, in the right way, at the right time, it is something which has a koyach, pshutei kamashmoi. That alone, to save us, bizman milchoma. We find this yisoid also in Sefer Shmuel. The Pasuk tells us, and again, our enemies once upon a time understood what makes Klal Yisrael tick. They understood, this was the great sakona of milchomas in those days, not just the physical enemy, but the spiritual understanding that they had of what makes Klal Yisrael's koyach. When Goliath came to fight against Bnei Yisrael, the Pasuk says he came hashkeim v'ha'arev. He came in the morning and he came in the evening. Says Rashi, Chazal quote this, that hashkeim v'ha'arev k'dei levat lo mikriyashma. He deliberately came. Goliath knew, he understood, that if Klal Yisrael say kriyashma, bizmanoi in the right way, then he's in trouble. And he came specifically to terrorize and to terrify Bnei Yisrael, hashkeim v'ha'arev, bizman ha'kriyashma, and to try and prevent Klal Yisrael from saying it. Chafetz Chaim, who wrote so many sforim in his Sefer Machne Yisrael, which is a handbook for Jewish soldiers during those days, incredible Sefer, so he actually has one chapter entitled Eis Milchoma. And he literally talks to the soldiers about how to behave, how to fight, and Achman Litzlan, how to die, if necessary, in the actual battlefield itself. Eis Milchoma. And amongst other things he says there, that I have a Kabbalah from my Rebbe, Reb Nochum of Horodka, I have a Kabbalah from him, that B'shas Milchoma, literally, as the war is raging, to scream Krishma, to scream Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, because that is something which can protect you and it can have tremendous powers in many ways. Afilu ein lochem elav schus kriyishma bilvad kedai atem sheyeshia eschem. So if you want to know what we can do for the war efforts, there's no question that the power of kriyishma is something we can run to. Kriyishma is something which Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemaim is, That is our protection. That is our shmira. That is our ir miklot. I use the name ir miklot because, in fact, the Aptarov writes a very fascinating thing. We know that there are six Ori Miklot. And the din is that a person who is Hoyrik HaNefesh B'Shkoga can also run to the Ori HaLevim, the 42 Ori HaLevim. They also are Koilet, they also can protect a person who is Hoyrik Nefesh B'Shkoga. So the Abdurov writes that there's no such thing as any mitzvah that is not eternally relevant. Even though B'zman HaZeh, we don't know whether Ori Miklot, we have no Ori Miklot, and the person Chalila is Hoyrik Nefesh B'Shkoga, there's no Ori Miklot to run to. But the Torah talks about an Ori Miklot. The Torah talks about Hoyrik Nefesh B'Shkoga, etc. And every mitzvah, if it's not necessary, if it's not relevant Lemaisa, then it can be relevant B'Machshava. But every mitzvah has eternal relevance in Kol HaTorah Kulo. So he writes there that a person is Hoyrik Nefesh B'Shkoga when they sin. When a person does something wrong, in essence what you've done is, nobody specifically, but lazy wants to do our various, but very often, unfortunately, B'Shkoga, B'Shoigeg, a person is Hoyrik or damages his own Nefesh due to our various or wrong things. So where do we run to? We run to HaKadosh Baruch Hu once again, that's the concept of tshuva, we're mekabel once again upon ourselves, Ol Malchus Shemayim. And he points out fascinatingly that Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elekeinu Hashem Echad, is six words, that's Kenega, the six Ori Miklot. And if you count from Vo'ohavto all the way to Bisharecha, there's 42 words. That's Kenega, the Bati Ori Levim. He goes on to be Marich, explains very interesting Gemaras with that, we won't go into that now, but it's, as I say, the number of words in Parshas Shema has a direct connection to the Irmiklot, Ori Miklot, and to the Ori HaLevim. Baruch Shem Kevoid Malchus Le'olam Vo'ed was, as we know, Chazal tell us, that's not part of Krishma, right? That's not in Parshas Veschanan. That was added, we say quietly, because Yaakov Avinu said it, but Moshe Rabbeinu didn't say it, Chazal say. So that's added as well, but it's a chelik of Krishma. It's also part of our Dveikus declaration towards the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Derech Agav, Naftali Ropshitz writes a very beautiful thing. He says that Baruch Shem Kavoid Machus Eloilam Voed is very much connected to our Dveikus, to the Shev Havaya, which is the message of Shema Yisrael Ol Malchus Shemayim. He says the first letters, Baruch Shein Kavoid Malchus Eloilam Voed, Beis Shin Chof Nem Lamed and Vav, are the only letters in the entire Aleph Beis that are Nitfal Nun Tes Pei Lamed, Nitfal Tofel. They connect and have Dveikus to the Shem Havaya, and we find Psukim to that effect. You can say Ba Hashem, She Hashem, Ka Hashem, Me Hashem, Vahashem and Lahashem. That's it. You can't say Zahashem or Chahashem or Tahashem or any of the other alphabets. The only letters that are nitfal to the Shem Havaya are the Rosh Tevis Baruch Shem Kavoid Malchus Eloilam Voed. That's all part of the declaration of Achdus Yisborach, of Yichud Hashem, and of the connection to the Rebbein Hashem. So, as we are in an Eis Milchama, and we are trying to connect, and we are trying to do whatever we can from a distance for Achenu B'nei Yisrael, B'chol Mokim Sheheim. Mitzvah's Krishma is something which definitely itself, as Chazal say in this week's Parsha, it has a koyach for it itself to save the day. And we can always see how choshev a mitzvah is by how much the Yitzhara tries to disrupt that mitzvah. If there's any mitzvah I can think of that is very hard to keep, and, you know, we all, every person, every bocha, every person can testify that it's a struggle. It's a struggle always to make sure you keep the zmanim of Kriya Shema and you say it properly and with kavana at the right time. And from the very struggle itself, we can understand how choshev and how powerful it must be, because the Yitzhara has a great interest in disrupting that mitzvah. But its protection is, as Reb Chaim Volozhiner writes, the protection of Ein Oid Mulvadei. When a person declares Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, Achdus Yisborach, there's no one and nothing comparable to him, and everything in the world is only because of him, and he's running this world, etc. That's the Einoid Mulvadei that Reb Chaim Volozhin discusses, which again he has a Kabbalah, that when a person declares upon themselves Einoid Mulvadei, absolute, complete belief that there is no other force and there is no other power in the world, then nothing can harm you. That is itself a Shmira, as Reb Chaim Volozhin Nefesh HaChaim is Marich. So just for the next few minutes, just to speak a bit about Kriya Shema, perhaps a few ideas that we can strengthen our commitment to this unique mitzvah d'oraisa. The journey of Shema Yisrael is a journey that takes us from the original Vayi Erev, Vayi Voike, Yoim Echad, as the Pasuk says, not Yoim Rishon, but Yoim Echad, as Rashi says, Echad, he was alone, there was no other creation, there was nothing other than him. And from that very first day, the journey has continued until the ultimate, V'hoya Bayem Ahu, Yashem Echad Ushmoy Echad. It started with Echad, and it will end with Echad. And in the interim, we all have to be Yachetcho Ba'avo, we all have to be Mekabel Ol Malchus Shemayim, and declare that all the multiplicity and the diversity of this world, all the protom of this world that seem to be what Yom Sheni symbolizes. There's more, there's a lot of, there's all different disconnected things that seem to have no connection to the one and only. And it's up to us to reveal in the journey of the world, from the Yom Echad until the V'hoya B'yom Ahu Yashem Echad, that everything that seems to be diversity and separate and disconnected is actually not a breakaway from Hashem Echad. And everything, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the only one, there's nothing comparable to him, and everything and all the ribui of the world that seems to be disconnecting from that concept of Echad is completely and absolutely, yes, connected to that Echad. That's our job. Our job is to show that there's no HaKadosh Baruch Hu and. It's only him. He is Echad, and that's the Kabbalah's Oil Malchus Shemayim. That it's all his Malchus. It's all being controlled by him and monitored by him. And there's nothing which is separate from his Rotzen, and nothing which is functioning without his Rotzen. Now, Avodram brings down that Shema is Rosh Tevis Su'umore Meinechem. A person can look up to the sky and see the tremendous galaxies Su'umore Meinechem or Ru'u Mi Bara Eile. We have to look up to the sky and realize that all the ribui, all the tremendous ribui, is all Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. It's all Him, it's all created by Him, it's all controlled by Him. So I heard many times from Moshe Shapiro that Su'umore Meinechem Ur'u Mi Bara Eile. Eile is symbolic of the ribui. Eile, these. Our job is to show that all the Eile of the world is being controlled by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To give a Mi to the Eile. When you add Mi to Eile, you get the letters Elikim. Mi and Eile is Elikim. Eile by itself is Avodah Zarah. Eile Elihecho Yisrael. That's Avodah Zarah. You start looking at the Ribui as disconnected from the one and only. But our job is to give a me to the Eile. If you give a me to the Eile, su'umore meinechem or u mi baro Eile, then you have the combination of Elikim. This is the clear and powerful message of Shema, that we have to think about, and we have to internalize, and hear carefully. Mishmo duma umasa, to hear it carefully, to internalize it, and to carry this message with us. So in the Sefer Rabbi Shua Hela, he says that to hear, to listen properly, there always has to be three criteria. Number one, the person or the message being given has to be a very loud and clear message. If the person's mumbling or not speaking loudly or it's not a clear, healthy message, there's no way you can listen properly. That's criteria number one. Criteria number two is that when someone is talking to you, for you to listen properly, you have to be silent. That's possibly why silence and listen are the same letters. You have to be silent when somebody is talking. Listen and silent are the same letters.
In English.
So, when you want to listen properly, you have to be silent at the same time. And the third criteria for really listening properly and being able to internalize a message is that it's not enough that the message goes from one ear out the next, or you see the message and it just bounces off your eyeballs and that's the end of it. But the message afterwards has to go from those two points and penetrate the heart and enter the world of action. So he says that this is hinted to in the word Shema. Those three criteria of properly listening is hinted to in the word Shema. Again, criteria number one is that the person who's talking, so that you can listen, is giving a loud and clear message. Everywhere in the world, if a person wants to silence an audience, or a person walks into a classroom and the kids are making a racket, any country in the world, the letter that's used to silence them is shh. No one in the world goes buh, guh, duh, or any of the other alephbets to silence a group of people making a noise. Shh is the loudest and clearest sound that can be made from the alephbets. That's symbolic of the loud and clear message, which is criteria number one of listening properly. Criteria number two of listening properly is that when a person is being spoken to, they are silent. When you pronounce the letter mem, your lips are closed. Mem is a letter where the lips are closed when the word's pronounced, symbolizing criteria number two, that silence is the way to listen. Criteria number three is that it's not enough that the message that you're hearing or seeing just goes to the two points of your ears or eyes. It must afterwards penetrate the heart. If you can visualize the letter Ayin, which is the third letter of Shema, you've got two points at the top, separate points, but then afterwards they come together and make a left-hand turn. And that's symbolic of the two, I literally means I. You see the message or you hear the message at the two points, but then afterwards they have to come and make a left-hand turn and penetrate the world of the heart. So it needs hispoinimus. It needs patience, it needs thinking, it needs time to internalize the message of Shema Yisrael. But this is the message. This is the message that we have to realize is the way we will survive Golos. The world started with Echod, the world ends with Echod, and in the interim, we say Shema from the second the baby, or the second the baby becomes a Jewish baby by his bris milah, we say Shema Yisrael, Shem Elokeinu, Hashem Echod. And every night after that, Ad Me'ah Ve'Esrim Shana, besides the chiv of Kriya Shema, a child is put to sleep with Shema Yisrael, we wake up. This is our journey from the original Echad to the final Echad. And when Yaakov Avinu came down to Mitzrayim, and he literally set foot in, he took the first step into the first Golos, the Arba Golos. But the Sheirish of all the Arba Golos is Golos Mitzrayim. And Yaakov Avinu injected into the original first Golos, the Sheirish of all the Golos. The first thing he did was, he was Mekabel El Malch Shemayim. The first thing he did was saying, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Many Ramazim to Chodesh El, we just said, announced Chodesh El's arrival. The Sfasemis, his famous explanation, Remez to Chodesh El, is that's in Perek Kuf of Tehillim, David HaMelech says, the Kriya Ksiv, Du'u ki Hashem hu Elikim, hu osonu v'loy anachnu. The word loy anachnu is a Kriya Ksiv. Loy with an Aleph, and loy with a Vav. When you think about it in Pshat, there doesn't seem to be much of a difference. What's the difference if I say, Du ki Hashem hu Elikim, hu osonu, he created us, v'loy anachnu with an Aleph, means, and we did not create ourselves, because he created us. Or if I say, hu osonu, he created us, v'loy anachnu with a Vav, and we are his. We're his. So, by definition, if we're his, then it's not us. Where's this such a great difference in the Kriya Ksiv's explanation? So Hashem says that the Kriya Ksiv is teaching us that hu asanu v'loy anachnu with an aleph. The more loy anachnu with an aleph, the more loy anachnu with a vav. The more, so to speak, we say loy, no to our own rots and our own desires and our own tithes, etc., then the more loy anachnu, the more we will be his loyal subjects. In just over a month from now, we need to declare ourselves as his loyal subject. That's what Rosh Hashanah is all about. Rosh Hashanah is all about Malchus. One of the 10 Pesukim is Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. That's one of the 10. That's Malchus. El Malchus Shemayim. How do we prepare ourselves for the Malchus? How do we prepare ourselves as loyal subjects of his majesty? During Chodesh El, by declaring upon ourselves Loi Anachnu with an Aleph, by realizing that everything we have and all the technology that we've created and all the whatever it may be, is all, it's not us. And to learn how to say no to our own Ratzonus and yes to his Ratzon. That's the Mishmo Dumo Masa that we spoke about beforehand. The more Loi Anachnu with an Aleph, the more Loi Anachnu with a Vav. So this is Fasemis. If you connect those two words, Loi and Loi, you have El. Loi with an Aleph and Loi with a Vav is together. Aleph Lamed, Vav Lamed is El. That's the Avoid of Chedesh El. And Yerotzen, that if we, with the Koyach of Chedesh El, and with the Koyach of Krishma, and the Achdus that Klal Yisrael have, as we started off talking about the Medrash with the two heads, which is part of the unity of Klal Yisrael, the word Shema also means unity. In Sefer Shmuel, the Pasuk says that when Shaul gathered the people to fight, it says, Vayeshama Shaul Esa'om. And the Mepharshim say that Vayeshama again is from the word Shema, because there needs to be Achdus amongst us to be able to declare Achdus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yerotzen, the Klal Yisrael should be protected by all these chusim, and the Achdus and the declaration of Enoin Muvadoi should be the Shmir for us, that will eventually, very soon, bring us to Mitzvah Hashem to V'hoyo Hashem Lemelech al Kol Haaretz, V'hoyo Hashem Echad Shmo Echad.